Good morning, church. It's so great to be with you both in person and virtually today. My name is Lindsay Watson, and I serve as the ministry specialist for Covenant Kids Congo, one of our partners here at Cascade Covenant and a ministry of our denomination and serve globally, which is the global mission arm of our denomination. I started in this position earlier this year and transitioned out of my role here as associate pastor at Cascade in February. Many of you have reached out to check in over the last several months, and I appreciate it just so much. While there are certainly things that I miss about being on the team here at Cascade Covenant, overall, it has been a good transition. While the first few months were learning the ins and outs of the ministry and programming, over the last couple months, I have absolutely loved diving in to meet new pastors and our church partners. Well, Don Lee from World Vision spoke last week at CCC and said that he felt like he was with a group of rock stars. And he is right, y'all. I always knew that, but now I know it. Cascade Covenant, you really are world changers and kingdom impactors. But unlike most guest preachers, I know that it's not just with Covenant Kids Congo and in Gemina DRC. It's right here in our community. I am so thankful that this church is living out what it means to be Christ followers. Not everyone can do everything, but everyone can do something. And we are a church that mows lawns, leads small groups, serves coffee, and makes meals, fosters and adopts, fights for freedom for all, supports families of children with different abilities, and walks for clean water. And that is a very short list of the amazing ways that Cascade impacts the kingdom. I believe this body of believers, this lowercase church, is awesome. I believe that we live into what it means to be the capital C church. And I believe that we live into Jesus' words that people will know who we are by the way we treat one another and the way we treat others. Before we jump into our passage today, I do want to take just a minute to celebrate Chosen and this church's response. Last Sunday was awesome. Cascade, along with five other Covenant churches, participated in Chosen and the Choosing Party that happened this last Wednesday. With my CKC hat on, it was an exciting day launching all of those churches. But I cannot tell you how special it was to participate with my people, with my family, right here at Cascade. And then to hear the response. This last Wednesday, because of this church, 33 children in Ledia were given the opportunity to choose their sponsor. In total, with all of the churches together, 164 children chose their sponsors on Wednesday. What a gift. This church participated in restoring broken circumstances and affirming the dignity of so many boys and girls in Gemina DRC. It's not over yet, however. We already have five more kids who will choose their sponsors at the next choosing party in Congo. So if you were not able to participate last Sunday, or maybe you just needed a little more time to think about it, there's still time. The turnaround time this time around will not be quite as quick, but if you would like to still be chosen by a child, please don't hesitate. It's one of the best decisions that you'll make. If you're in the building today, stop by the booth after the service, or anyone at home can text Cascade to 56170 and follow the prompts. Pastor Dan confidently declared a goal for our church to give 50 children the opportunity to choose. We are at 38. Can we hit 50? I think that we can. For those of you who opt in today, you will find who chose you on June 27th. Everyone else was introduced to their child today. Congratulations to all of you. The other churches that participated in Chosen got a thank you video from CKC Lindsay today. But it felt a little awkward to introduce a video of myself. So I did want to share some of the progress that we've seen in Congo because of churches like Cascade Covenant. I know that we talk a lot about sponsorship and you hear a lot about clean water, but our partnership with Covenant Kids Congo is about a lot more than those two things. We've seen progress in areas like sanitation, education, food security, healthcare, child advocacy, and more. Since the beginning of the partnership back in 2012, we've moved from 52% to 80% of children in Gemina completing basic education. We've moved from 28% to 75% of children being immunized. We've moved from 49% to nearly 70% of households able to provide two or more meals per day. And yes, water is a big deal. In 2012, only 16% of the community in Gemina had access to clean water, and now over 56% of households have access to clean, life-giving, and sustainable water. Each of these statistics represents real boys and girls, moms and dads, grandparents and neighbors who can have hope and fullness of life. It really is amazing. So thank you for being a rock star, Covenant Kids Congo Church. For the rest of our time today, we are actually going to be diving into the book of Joshua. But before we begin, would you pray with me? Father God, thank you again for this church. And for the amazing ways that you've allowed us to participate in your work around the world and in our neighborhood and community here in the Snoqualmie Valley, God. Thank you for giving and equipping this body of believers to do your work. We are just so thankful that you invite us into that partnership. God, as we dive into your word this morning, I pray that you would use the message to challenge us and to encourage us, God, and that we would hear what we need to hear today. And I pray that you would allow me to just reflect your word. So Holy Spirit, come and be with us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, well, Mr. Jeff shared a great message that told the Bible lesson today from the book of Joshua chapter 5. And this was probably not the first time that you have heard the story about the fall of Jericho. This is one of those stories that has even made it into children's Bibles. But like most stories in children's Bibles, only part of the story is highlighted, the nice part of the story, if you will. The entire time I was preparing the message today, the kids' song was playing in my head on repeat. You probably know the one. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. In denim and white shirts marching around singing that song, but I figured that Danny's version was about 1,000 times better and less creepy, if I'm honest. But here's the deal. This passage is actually not a nice bedtime story for kids. An entire city is destroyed and nearly all of its inhabitants. All of the riches are saved while everything else is burned. It doesn't fit neatly into the nice story category. And if I'm honest with y'all, I don't love our Bible lesson day. I actually struggle with most of the book of Joshua. Yes, there are definitely verses that I find encouraging and inspiring, but overall, it's a struggle because of the violence that's in this book. How do we reconcile the grace and love of Jesus with the judgment and destruction that we see in the Old Testament in the books like Joshua? There's entire books on this, and as I was preparing for the message today, The Violence of the Biblical God by Daniel Hawk was one that I referenced. And the person who recommended it to me actually said that it wouldn't be completely satisfying, but it was palatable. And after reading the chapter specifically on this passage, I would agree with the recommendation, and I would actually make it to you. Unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately, depending on how you view it, we cannot and we'll never be able to completely understand the economy or providential design of God to destroy some and not others. We are not God. Praise God that we are not God. But we also know from the entirety of Scripture that God loves all people. From the creation of the world to the promise of Abraham to the book of Revelation that talks about people from all tribes and tongues worshiping at the feet of God. We know that God makes a way for all people to enter into relationship with him through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus changed everything. Or more accurate, he completed everything. And in doing so, made a way for us and for all people. Praise God. But with that, it would also be amiss to not challenge you against applying this passage to the destruction that's happening in Israel and Palestine over the last few months. So how does the Jericho passage directly apply to what we're seeing and reading about in that region in the news? Well, in short, it doesn't. It's not biblical to directly apply it, and some scholars might even say it's heretical to do so. And while I am seminary trained, I don't claim to be an Old Testament scholar, but I do defer to those who are on these types of issues. Yes, Jericho is a Palestinian city in the West Bank. No, the current political country of Israel and its inhabitants and leaders are not the same chosen people of God we read about in Scripture. Yes, the Lord did tell Joshua to destroy the historical city of Jericho. No, God is not telling the leaders of Israel to do the same today. I understand that it could be divisive to even say these things, but that's really not how it's intended. What is happening in the news today is heavy and hard and awful. And the book of Joshua is also heavy and hard, and there's a lot of awful within it too. We are not the people of Israel coming into the promised land for the very first time, and it's not possible for us to fully grasp all the dynamics and realities at play. But as we transition and into the message and applications for today, I did want to acknowledge everything that is happening in Israel and Palestine, because these current realities are actually what makes the passage difficult for me, and maybe that's the same for you. But even when it's hard and difficult to understand the why behind the stories in Scripture, or even in current events, we can be confident in our God. And that's what we're going to be talking about today and for the rest of our time. We're going to primarily be focusing on the character of Joshua, and we're going to kind of be jumping between a couple different passages in the book of Joshua. First, quick poll. When you think of the top 10 leaders of the Bible, who comes to mind? If we were on Zoom, I would actually poll you right now. 2 years ago, that is something that I had never done. I had never used a Zoom poll, but now I'm pretty much an expert, which is a sign of the times. So anyway, just for fun, I Googled top 10 leaders in the Old Testament, and then again, top 10 leaders in the Bible. And of course, Google suggested a number of things, from top 10 men in the Bible, top 12 women in the Bible, or 50 important people in the Bible. It was actually kind of a fascinating thing to see who made which list. David, Moses, Abraham, Elijah, Deborah, Esther, Noah, Jesus, Peter, Paul, Mary, Isaiah, Daniel, Nehemiah, Joseph, John the Baptist, Solomon. Only one list out of about 10 listed Joshua. I thought that was actually kind of interesting. And it was an article on LinkedIn, no kidding, titled 12 Most Inspiring Leadership Lessons from the Bible. David got the title of not being afraid of giants, literal giants. Isaiah was a leader who rose to the occasion. Here I am, send me. Daniel was a leader who maintained his resolve without regard for consequences. Hello, lions. Jesus was, well, you guessed it, a servant leader or a sacrificial leader, literally. Peter, well, he was a leader who recovered from failure. But what about Joshua? Joshua was a leader who ruled by example rather than only by command. Now, Joshua is the one who, at the very end of the book of Joshua, in Joshua 24:15, said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He explains all the ways that God has been faithful, and he's basically like, okay, y'all, so as you can see, I'm in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So are you in too? And Joshua led by example. But let's rewind. By the beginning of the book of Joshua, we actually already know about Joshua. We were introduced to him in Exodus 17:9, when Moses instructs Joshua to gather a group and to go out and fight the Amalekites. He's a commander of sorts, or at least a trusted officer in Moses' army. And then in Exodus 24, he's with Moses and the other leaders at Mount Sinai. This is the passage we based our invitation series on a couple of summers ago. God was with his people, gathered at the table, a slab of pavement the color as blue as the sky, or a turquoise table. In verse 13, it says that Moses set out with Joshua his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. And this is where Moses jots down the Ten Commandments. So through many of the major moments in the latter half of Moses' life, Joshua is present. In Numbers 27, 15 through 23, we can read about the process of choosing and calling Joshua as a leader and the future leader of Israel. Moses said to the Lord, May the Lord, the God who gives breath to all things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. Basically, I'm not going to be around forever. Israel's going to need a leader. Who will you appoint? Verse 18. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit of leadership, and lay your hand on him. And so it was. Joshua was chosen and commissioned. To be commissioned is defined as the act of committing or entrusting a person or group with a supervisory power or authority. And Joshua was a faithful right hand to Moses and a leader to Israel. Even when they weren't making good choices, Joshua encouraged the people to follow the Lord, to trust the Lord, and to remember his faithfulness. And he led by example. Joshua deeply trusted the Lord and had confidence in him. So as I said earlier, there are a number of inspiring and encouraging verses and passages throughout the book of Joshua. But overall, I believe that Joshua is a great Bible hero to highlight as we celebrate our seniors today and encourage them as they step into the next step of their journey. So let's first add some context to our passage today. Joshua chapter 1, we read that Moses just died. The leader who was chosen by God to lead Israel out of slavery in Egypt, who parted the Red Sea, who met God on Mount Sinai, certainly the leader who made a number of mistakes along the way, the leader who led and listened to and had the power to scold the people of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness, Moses had died. And it had to be kind of a bittersweet moment for the nation. On one hand, their leader, their friend, was dead. On the other hand, this meant that the new generation of Israel could pass into the promised land. It was likely a day that they were both eagerly awaiting for, right? Like with dread and probably some excitement. The people of Israel can begin to take the land, and their new leader, Joshua, is at the helm. Let's read it together. Joshua 1, 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river of the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses. So I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn away from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Our sermon theme for the summer is confidence. Having confidence that God is with you, sees you and knows you, and that his plans are the best plans for you. That's our bottom line. And our basic truth is that we can trust God no matter what. God does what he says he's going to do. And how do we know that? Well, we know that because of what he's done. Joshua had confidence in God because of the way God had previously provided for the people of Israel. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Joshua knew this was true because he had experienced the Lord's faithfulness in his own life, and he had witnessed it corporately among the people of Israel. But these two things are different, aren't they? We can witness God's faithfulness in the lives of others, and we can directly experience God's faithfulness in our own lives. But it doesn't change the fact that God is faithful. Sometimes life does not go as planned and we don't feel like we can point to one specific way that God has been faithful. But if we expand our sight line and look to the people around us, or maybe even to the kingdom of God, the bigger kingdom of God, we can clearly see God's faithfulness. But you might not see God's faithfulness or recognize it unless you take time to. And this is one of the reasons I actually love Confirmation Sunday that we'll do later this summer and Baptism Sundays, because they're a reminder to examine our own lives and see the way that God has been at work. But let's be real. You won't remember unless you take the time to remember. Think about the people of Israel. They continually forgot to look beyond their current circumstances. They were the worst. They completely forgot all the ways that God had been faithful to them. But they were also human. And we can do the exact same thing, am I right? So here's the first challenge from our passage today. Consider the ways that God has been faithful in your life. I know it's been a hard year, and for some of you, this might be difficult to recall. Others, it might come easier, but even though it's been a hard year, God has been at work. He has been doing amazing things in your life, in the lives of the people around you, in this church, and in His kingdom. And we can praise God for the good, the bad, and the ugly. And when we feel like we can't really do that in our own lives, we can expand our sight line. Look at your friends and your family. Look at this church. God is faithful. Joshua witnessed and experienced the Lord's faithfulness, and he took time to remember it. In Joshua 4, we read about Joshua stones, or markers of God's faithfulness for miraculously bringing the people of Israel through the Jordan River. Not across, but literally through the Jordan River on dry land. In Joshua 4:1-7, it says, "When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you will stay tonight.'" So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." And then jumping to verses 20-24. "And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, 'In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." Joshua took steps to remember God's faithfulness. He didn't just rely on his own memory or the memory of the people of Israel, because we all know that they had a short attention span and a short corporate memory. So seniors and everyone else, what steps can you take to remember God's faithfulness? Because here's the deal. Your journey is going to get tough. There is no doubt about it. Maybe tougher than the last year. So what are some ways that you will work to remember so that you can look back and tell of God's faithfulness? What markers or Joshua stones can you create? Maybe it's sharing God's stories. Again, we do this with confirmation, and I absolutely love it. Cameron Burke is graduating this year, and I was her confirmation mentor. I cannot tell you how amazing it has been to see God's work in her life and see her grow as a woman of God over the years. Her eighth grade confirmation God story was about overcoming a hard situation, and she came through on the other side. And through her testimony, we saw God's faithfulness. Maybe it's keeping a journal so that you can look back and remember. Or what about using your phone? I personally love Siri. Hey Siri, remind me 1 year from today that I saw God's faithfulness in this way or that way. Or maybe it's small notes in the margin of your Bible or post-it notes that you've stuck between the pages. You can literally collect stones and write on the bottom of them. For Joshua, the pile of rocks served as a reminder or a marker of God's faithfulness. How will you remember? Joshua was confident in God's faithfulness because he took steps to remember it, both in his own life, his own experiences, as well as through what he witnessed in the people around him. When life got tough, or he was literally up against a wall, the walls around Jericho, he had confidence in God. Verse 5 and 6, "No one will be able to stand against you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. You will lead these people into the land I promised." Be strong and courageous. God's saying that you've seen my faithfulness, you've experienced it, you remembered it. So trust me. But that verse, it's not a, you know, you can now do whatever you want and I will crush your enemies. It's not about Joshua having big muscles and being physically strong and courageous. Verse 7 and 8 talk about obeying the law and keeping in line with God's will for your life, reading the Bible, praying, ultimately spending time with God. Just like Joshua's confidence was not blind confidence, Joshua's courage and strength was not hollow. It was backed up by God. Joshua had courage and strength because he was relying on God for courage and strength. His lifeline, his support, his strength was God. Finally, verse 9, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. It's less about the first part of the verse and more about the second part. Why shouldn't we be afraid or discouraged? Because God promises to be with us wherever we go. So when it came to Jericho, another leader might have double checked with the Lord. Are you sure that you want us to walk around the city quietly? Are you sure you don't just want us to barge in? We can take them, God. Let's just scale the walls. Let's take the city. Nope. Joshua was like, okay, God, I don't care if we look silly or even crazy, like Mr. Jeff said. We will do what you say because you promised us. You've never gone back on a promise, and you never will. Just like Joshua had confidence that God's plan was the best plan, we can have that confidence too. So seniors, as you go out into this next step in your journey, know that you are not going alone. God is with you. He is faithful. And if you need help remembering that, we will help you remember that. We are your people. And we are cheering for you. It is hard to trust God, and it is hard to be courageous and strong, and it is hard to have confidence in what's next in God's plan for you. But God is worthy of your trust. You might be excited, and I bet you're probably a little bit nervous too, and that's completely normal. But as we looked at Joshua's example today, I hope that you will be encouraged to trust in the Lord. He has brought you this far, and he will continue to be with you. And that goes for everyone else too, not just our seniors. For those of you who have known God for a while, we can all use a reminder to remember that he is faithful in the good and the bad and in the ugly. So lean in. If you don't yet know God and really aren't sure about this Jesus thing, he is worthy of your trust. But you may have to take a leap of faith to get there, and I hope that you do. Like Joshua, we can take on pretty much anything, including Jericho's, because our God is for us and promises to be with us. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you again that you do promise to be with us, that you are a faithful God who is for us, who supports us, and is our strength. God, we pray a special blessing again on our seniors today. Lord, thank you for each of their lives. Thank you for their families and all the people who have poured into them and into their faith over the years, Lord. I pray that you would continue to surround them with a wonderful community of believers, God, that they might continue to grow in you and grow in their trust and confidence in you, God. Lord, I pray that you would challenge us this week to take a moment to remember your faithfulness, God, to take a moment to remember it and to take note of it so that we can recall it when times get tough, Lord. Thank you for Joshua. Thank you for the example that we have in him and so many other Bible heroes, God. And we ask that you would just help us to apply that to our daily lives and everything that you would have us do on a daily basis. Lord, thank you again for this time. Thank you that you are God and we are not. And thank you that you promise to be with us. We love you, Lord. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.